If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4action.com. That's www.tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Thanks for listening. We have a packed show lined up for you tonight. We have Ms. Bobby Petray from Tennessee Eagle Forum. We have Senator Jim Tracy. We have Senator Mae Beavers. And we have potential Senate candidate Brandon Dodd and possibly Representative David Alexander joining us a little later in the show. You know, if you're a conservative, there's so many things coming at us so fast, and it's really hard to keep up with everything. Whether you're concerned about the life issue, whether you're concerned about the IRS scandal, health care, you name it. So many things are coming at all of us so fast, it's really hard to keep up. Matter of fact, you can't keep up. And not one person can track everything all at one time. But I'm going to tell you what, there is somebody in Tennessee who's done a real good job of getting all the experts together in one location for us. And they're going to have an event here in Nashville on Eagle's Wings. That's the Tennessee Eagle Forum conference that they're going to have October 5th. And if you are wanting to get caught up on what's going on, or maybe you don't have a lot of information on some of these issues, this is the place to be. And without taking any longer, I'm going to go ahead and get to our first guest, and she'll fill you in on the pertinent details. Bobby, are you with us?
I am.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. You've got a big event lined up in October, and I thought I'm glad to have you come on and tell everybody what they can expect to learn at this conference, I'm just looking over the list here, and I can't think of anything that conservatives care about that's not covered here in some way, shape, or form.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Dave, for having me on tonight. I feel very honored and privileged to be with you. And I think you're exactly right. But I'd like to just go back a minute to the introduction you were talking about the issues that come at us. I have described it as living in a permanent tsunami. It is almost like we get knocked down, and before we can get up on our feet and get our feet under us again, then this next issue, you know, comes and just knocks us down again. And you're exactly
Absolutely.
Right. It is difficult. It is very difficult to keep up with all of the issues and to have the material and the information that we need to be the kind of activist that I know every one of your listeners want to be. And that's a service that Eagle Forum tries to provide to the subscribers to our daily newsletter as well as this biennial event. And by the way, in case some of your listeners don't know much about Eagle Forum, we're the oldest pro-family organization in the nation. We predate Christian Coalition, Focus on the Family, Moral Majority, all of those that some of which have come and gone, and we're still here. In fact, I just returned last night from our 42nd annual Eagle Council meeting, which is our national annual meeting, and we were in Washington, D.C. And it is a high-quality event. Ambassador John Bolton was one of our speakers over the weekend, as was Louis Gohmert from Texas, who's a wonderful conservative legislator there. But anyway, one of the things that we try to do is educate all of our people so that they have the information that they need to be active. And during the if you sign up, if you go to our website, tneagleforum.org, and click on the Register Here button, you can put your information in there, and then you will get the information on a variety of issues. But when the legislature is in session, you will get a legislative update that goes out on Saturday mornings that keeps you abreast of all the important bills that are moving, who needs to be contacted, what the message should be. And as far as I know, no other organization provides this kind of service, so I would like to encourage your listeners to do that. But I also do know for sure that no other organization provides the kind of event that we are having on October the 5th at the Embassy Suites in Cool Springs. And this is something we do on the biennial basis because I tell people on election years, I want you giving your money to candidates and working hard for them because I want you to make my job easier.
You've been up there for about 30 years, so you need all the help that you can get.
26 years. Yeah, 26 years. I just, this session that we had in 2003 was my 26 years as a full-time lobbyist on Capitol Hill. And,
wow.
And believe me, times have changed down there. When I first went down there, it is the Republicans who could have held their caucus in a phone booth. I'm serious. The turnover and the changes have been way more than dramatic. Right now, there's only four legislators who have been there longer than I have. And that's a pretty good turnover in 26 years for 132 lawmakers.
That's quite a bit, yeah.
It is the event that we're planning for October the 5th, as you said, really does touch every issue that is really the hot topic today. Obamacare, Twyla Bracey will be here. She's from the Citizen Action Council for Health Freedom, and she is a national expert on health care issues and Obamacare. She does television programs and speaks all over the country. Jane Robbins with the American Principles Project. You know, Common Core is the really hot topic right now, and in fact, we're
very hot this week.
Yes, this week indeed, the Common Core hearings, and we're very, very grateful to Senator Gresham for initiating these hearings and giving opportunity to speak. I mentioned that I had just come back from Eagle Council, and a good chunk of the program on Friday, Saturday morning, I guess it was with a number of Common Core speakers. And the thing that I noticed in talking to the other Eagle Forum leaders from around the country was some of the other states have had hearings, but they were very biased, and the proponents were given lots more time than the opponents. And I will tip my hat to Senator Gresham, how gracious she has been in designing a format that is very fair. There are going to be seven speakers on either side, and they're going to alternate, and each speaker is going to get about 20 minutes. I will tell you, from what I heard over the weekend, this is unheard of. So we should
That's pretty thorough. That's very thorough. Seven from each side, 20 minutes?
I think it's going to be excruciatingly thorough. But, I mean, we really should thank Senator Gresham, because as I said, after hearing the stories from my colleagues from all over the country, in fact, I got a bit of startled looks when I did a presentation on what we were doing here in Tennessee on Common Core. Was like, did she say what I just thought she said? And so, again, we're very blessed that Senator Gresham is going to do that. But Jane Robbins, and she'll be here to speak at these hearings, as she was at the April 30th big meeting that we had actually in this same hotel where we had 750 people sign up to come. So she's going to come, and she's going to speak also at our conference. Now, there are two things that I'm very proud of, and that is that Marshall Teague, who is the star of The Last Ounce of Courage, and he's a motivational speaker, he's going to be here to speak. And if you haven't seen that movie, see it between now and October the 5th. Get the DVD or something, because it's a movie about a town mayor who wakes up one day, sort of like many of us did some years ago, thinking, what's happened to my town and to my country, and what do I need to do about it, and how do I need to oppose it, and what he goes through to try to return his city to the traditional values that are important to him. And he's a remarkable guy. And the speech that he gives standing on top of a building, and this is, I won't give away any more of the movie. I mean, you will probably cry, and then you want to stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Now, this is all based on a true story, correct?
Yes, I think so.
And where did it happen? You know where it happened?
I don't remember the name of the town, but I've met and talked with him, and he's genuine. This is no put on. And when we were talking about this movie, he said, this wasn't a role. He said, this was my life. And I thought that was put so beautifully. And he and his wife were just delightful people. And in fact, he was a law enforcement officer in Memphis for a while. And he has family here in Tennessee.
Great. Tennessee connection.
Yes, he does. He has great connections. And in fact, he and his wife were married here in Tennessee. Darius Long, who's the father of Andy Long, and Melvin Bledsoe, the father of Carlos Bledsoe. And if anybody has seen the movie Losing Our Sons, these two dads, who have both lost their sons, one to prison and another to death, are going to be here telling their story. And it's always such a moving and inspiring experience for them to be together and to see how both families are Christians, but to see how God is using these two dads who you might think, you know, under perhaps other circumstances would not even be speaking to each other. But they make such an impact. They care about each other, and it's very clear that they do. And they just make an incredible impact. And if your listeners don't know about that story, Andy Long was in the military, and Carlos Bledsoe was raised in a Christian home in Memphis, came to Nashville to go to TSU, where he converted to being a Muslim, and he was radicalized and went overseas and came back completely radicalized. And he firebombed a rabbi's house here in Nashville. I guess he got an F in bombing because it didn't go off, praise the Lord. And he went on to Louisville and went to a military recruiting station there. And fortunately, it was closed, but unfortunately, he went on to Little Rock and found one that was open, and he shot and killed Andy Long and paralyzed the other recruiter at that station. And as I said, the story is just, it's so moving and inspiring. But we also have Dr. Jane Wanless, who is doing What You Pay for Earth Day and the EPA. And Derek Morgan.
I'm going to have to break in real quick. And before I do, though, I want to say that what you were just talking about, losing our sons, that in itself is worth a trip to Nashville. If you haven't seen it, that in itself is worth. Plus, you have all these other great guests. I've got to take a quick 30-second break, and then we'll go right back to the issue you're going to bring up there. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm as we call our home. Traditional American Movement is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal-free website, which makes it a great website. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to Bobby Petre from Tennessee Eagle Forum, and she is filling us in on the great event on Eagle's Wings, October 5th in Nashville at Embassy Suites. And Bobby, I'll get right back to you. You're getting ready to tell us, we were talking about Agenda Earth Day is what you were going to tell us about next, I think.
Yes, Dr. James Wanless, who's from South Africa and has a wonderful accent, and I'm a sucker for accents, but he is a he He's a delightful guy. We had him 2 years ago, and I rarely ever ask a speaker back a second time. But he was so good on his subject, the Green Dragon, which was about, you know, the whole green movement. He was so good and such a delightful speaker that I asked him to come back this year, and he's going to be speaking on what you pay for Earth Day and the EPA. Well, you've seen a lot of the EPA stuff in the news, I'm sure, lately. So this is also a very timely topic. And Derek Morgan, who's with the Heritage Foundation, will be doing an update on immigration. And our own Dr. Bill Warner will be doing a topic of the annihilation of Christianity. And this is about what's happening to Christians in the Muslim lands, and nobody is really talking about that. But
no, you won't hear that on the mainstream press at all.
No, our brothers and sisters in Christ are being murdered, burned, decapitated. I mean, there's just all sorts of things going on out there that, as you say, you're not going to see in the mainstream media, but people need to know about it. And Elizabeth Beshears, who's with Heritage Action, she's going to be doing a segment on coordinating action for correct congressional accountability. And I don't know anything that needs any more accountability than Congress. And
that's
David
a monumental
Fouts.
Task right there.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm sure she would need at least all day, but she's only going to get X number of minutes to do it. But our own David Fowler, who's president of Family Action Council of Tennessee, I'm sure most of your listeners know about the amendment to the Constitution that we're going to be voting on November the 4th of 2014, where we will make the Constitution neutral on the issue of abortion. Just a quick fill-in there. In the year 2000, the state Supreme Court overruled and said that our three laws, the waiting period, informed consent, and that second trimester abortions had to be done in hospitals. And they said that they overruled all of those, overturned them, and said that the Tennessee Constitution has a stronger, quote, right to privacy, unquote, than the federal constitution. Well, you and I know, and your listeners know, there's no right to privacy in either constitution, but they like to make these things up as they go along. That's right. And so we started right after that trying to pass in a proposed amendment to the Constitution. And we never could get it through the House. We could always get it through the Senate until Jimmy Nafee was no longer Speaker. And that's when we were able to get it through the House.
That was a hallelujah moment.
Oh, it was a hallelujah moment. I mean, we had just, you know, we had labored and labored over it, and, you know, you can't when the committee is stacked with pro-abortion legislators, you know, it isn't going to get out. And that committee was reconstructed after he was no longer Speaker, and we were able to get it out. Now, amending the state constitution is an arduous process, and I don't really have a problem with that because, you know, you shouldn't be able to change your founding document willy-nilly. So
no.
You have to pass proposed language through one General Assembly and then have an election. And then in that General Assembly, it has to be by simple majority. And then when you come back in after that election, the next General Assembly, the exact same language has to pass by a two-thirds majority in both houses. Then it goes on the ballot at the next governor's race, where it has to get 50% plus one of the votes cast in the governor's race.
Let me step in real quick because I do have to take another break. But
all right.
What you were just hitting on was really important, and a lot of people may think this is going to be a done deal, but we need to talk a little bit about why it won't necessarily be if they don't get out there.
Yes.
This is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. We're talking about Trey. Do not go away. We'll be right back after this message.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Bobby Petray from Tennessee Eagle Forum. Bobby, before the break, we were talking about the process to actually make Amendment 1 law. And, you know, we are a very pro-life state, and a lot of people might assume, okay, we've got it on the ballot, it's a done deal. But that is not necessarily the case, and if you could elaborate on that a little bit, on why it's so important that we inform people of the process and get them out there.
Well, I will tell you why it's so important. And if people, and that is my fear, is that people are going to adopt that attitude, because you're right, that there's no more pro-life state in the nation than the state of Tennessee. But the problem is we're going to have every pro-abortion organization, not just in Tennessee, across the country, will be pouring money to try to defeat us. And I mean, one of the most shocking things to me is that Tennessee, as pro-life as it is, because we don't have these health protecting laws in place, we are an abortion destination state. Now that should make cold chills run down the spine of everybody listening to us tonight. And because it takes such a high bar, because it has to have 50% plus one of the votes cast in the governor's race, so we could get the majority of votes but still lose the amendment. And so many people don't go down ballot when they go in to vote. You know, we've got a U.S. Senate Senate election on there. We've got the governor's election on there. We've got the state senates, state senators, and the House members. And then you get to the amendments, and so many people don't go down the ballot to vote. And then that attitude, well, we're very pro-life state, people will vote for this, I won't bother to look for it or, you know, make any special effort. But we are expecting this to be a very difficult fight. I think it was in Colorado a couple years ago where I forget exactly the content of the amendment, but millions of dollars were poured in that state to defeat it. And I think we'll see the exact same thing here, but obviously an amendment to a constitution is much stronger than just passing a pro-life law. And the people who make money killing babies aren't going to want to see that happen. So we really do have our work cut out for us. We need to have people to understand it. I might mention this. When we were doing our focus groups, we did a set of focus groups here in Nashville and one in Memphis, and I went to the ones here in Nashville, and we did a group of men and a group of women. And I actually thought my head was going to explode while I was watching them. We were watching them from behind glass. I'm serious. What was it, Reagan, that said something about the problem is they know so much that's not true?
exactly.
I mean, you know, the guy that leads a focus group, you know, asks them different questions. Well, the ladies were just absolutely sure that you could never walk into abortion and abortion clinic and have an abortion right away. Well, you can, and you can do it all across the state. There's no waiting period. You don't have to go home and think about it. You can walk in and have an abortion. And I guess the two universal things that I came away with from that was that, and I don't know if your listeners know how focus groups are done, they call out the ones that are firmly pro-life or firmly pro-abortion. And they want to have people in the focus groups that are leaning one way or another. The object is to see what moves them. And the one thing that I was really amazed at was that these people, who none of whom seemed very political just in general, but even if they were pro-abortion leaning, they were astonished to find out that Tennessee was an abortion destination state, because even they recognized how pro-life the state was.
Yeah, not what you would think. Definitely not what you would think.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, so David's going to get us an update and give us all the details on that. And then Steve Gorham, who is the Executive Director of Climate Science Coalition for America, he's going to be speaking on sustainable development, which is an attack on our freedoms. Well, everybody's hearing lots about sustainable development and Agenda 21 and all that is going on. And then Joanne Bregman, my lobbying partner, and our friend Don Burnett, they're going to be doing a presentation on understanding the impact of refugee resettlement. And then our wonderful leader and founder of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, will be here and speaking at the evening banquet, as will Becky Gerritsen. And if anybody watched the hearings on from the organizations that were attacking and harassing the IRS, she was a lady from the Wetumpka Tea Party in Alabama that was a target of the IRS, and she was the one that just won everybody's heart at that hearing with her speech, and her being a part of that hearing has literally changed her life. She now is asked to come all over the country. She's on all the television programs, Hannity and all the national programs, because she is such a wonderful representative of defending our freedoms. And we've got some special awards we're going to give out that evening. And I will tell you, it's the best day you'll spend any time around.
Well, it sounds like you're not going to get more information anywhere, that's for sure. I got a question for you. You just came back from your national convention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems to me, now I was never as involved as I am here in Tennessee, but how do we compare the other states? For instance, with the other state chapters of Eagle Forum, are they able to get the kind of guests we get here? Do they have the level of involvement we have?
To her credit, Phyllis, I've been involved with Eagle Forum for about 38 years now. I cut my Eagle Forum teeth in Alabama, then moved to Lexington, Kentucky, and then moved here to Tennessee. And Phyllis lets each Eagle Forum leader lead like they, you know, whatever their personal style is. And not all the state Eagle Forum chapters operate like we do. I don't know of any others that have a daily e-newsletter like I put out. And there's two or three states that do the conferences. Alabama does a similar conference. I think there's a couple of other states that do. But I think, and Phyllis recognizes that Tennessee is one of the most active and most influential in the other state organizations, and she was it's always very complimentary of the things that we do here. And by the way, as a little aside, I managed to get Representative Judd Matheny invited to be a guest speaker at Eagle Council, so that he could tell those from other states about his two new ideas, his new committee, the Joint Legislative Advisory Committee, that's sort of a state's rights committee, as well as his idea about the biennial meeting with the federal and state legislators that he's planning for January. So he got to tell a whole room full of people about both of his ideas.
That's great, because we need that in every state. We definitely need
that. Oh, that's
right.
That's why I wanted Judd invited to speak, because just think, if we had, you know, if we had 30 or 35 states doing the same thing, I think that would make a huge impact. But for people who want more information about the conference, they can go on our website, which is tneagleforum.org, and look on the left side of the page. First, I'll come out and talk to them. And they look on the left side of the page and click on Eagle's Wings and open that page up. And you can register online, or there's a printable registration form that you can fill out and send in. And we just will be delighted to have all of your listeners come. I can promise you, they will not be disappointed.
Well, I'm sure of that. I've been to them before, and they're always great. And this one sounds like it might be even better than the last one. Bobby, we're just about out of time, but I greatly appreciate you coming on the show. And matter of fact, going to have you back next week, and you're going to go on a little more into the lobbying issue for
us. That's right, and I'll look forward to that.
I look forward to that, too. Thank you again. And
thank you so much for the opportunity, Dave.
And I'll get you on as often as we can. Thank you. Have a good evening. Everybody, don't go away. We're going to be right back in just a minute with Senator Jim Tracy. Got to do a few quick commercials. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. Once again, this is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? GoatsForTheOldGoat.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Our next guest is Senator Jim Tracy. Senator, are you with us? Hello? Jim, are you there? Okay, we're having a little technical difficulty here. Hello? Okay. Senator Tracy, are you with us? Okay. Well, we're having some technical difficulties here. Not sure what the problem is. That sometimes happens. We'll work through that. One thing I want to mention, you know, Bobby was just talking about Eagle Forum, and that's on October 5th. Well, normally in Tennessee in October is when a Republican caucus meets. So one good thing about this event is right after this event, you can go with all that knowledge that you have that you've gained from this event. You can kind of get in touch with your representatives and your senators, and apply what you've learned. Senator Tracy, are you with us now?
I've got you, Lance.
Are you there?
Hello. I am.
Okay.
I can hear you loud.
Got you now. Okay, great. Sorry about that. Sometimes happens. Hey, I appreciate
That's
you coming
all right.
on the show. And how's everything going with you?
It's going great. I appreciate y'all having me on tonight. You had a great guest before me. I got to hear some of Bobby. She's one of the best people we have up here in the General Assembly that lobbies us and talks to us about issues. So she does a great job. I'm glad you had her on.
Oh, yeah. She does a great job, and she's, you know, a wealth of information. And this convention, this event is going to be good. And I was just talking while we were trying to get you back on there, and maybe you can help me with this. Doesn't the Republican caucus normally meet October sometime, you know, somewhere around there prior to the
session?
Yes,
we do. We normally do, and I think we do have a meeting sometime scheduled in October. I haven't seen the schedule yet, but we normally meet every October to go over issues relating to what we're going to get into, you know, in January.
Okay. So the convention came at a good time, so everybody can go there, you know, with what they've learned and take it to the legislators and hopefully get some good legislation out of it. Obviously, one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is your race. But I was looking at your website. You know, we talked a little bit before, but I was looking at your website, and you know, the first thing that I notice is life begins at conception. You have 100% pro-life voting record. I think you voted for SJR 127. I'm sure you did if you were there. And of course, now that has become Amendment 1. And you know, thank you for your vote on that. And if you would like to say something on that, maybe to encourage people a little bit as far as getting out there. I know you're in a U.S. House race now, but that's an important part of the fight.
It is, Dave. I tell you, you're right. I actually voted for it three times. I think Senator David Fowler carried it once, and it didn't get passed through the House. And then I think now current Congressman Diane Black carried it in the Senate. We got it passed. So I think I voted for it at least two times, and we got it passed the second time. And it's real important for those that are listening tonight. It is real important to get out and vote on this amendment because it's going to affect our Constitution. So it makes our Constitution neutral so we can do some things on life. And I believe life does begin at conception, Dave. That's just what my beliefs are. And I have three boys, and I just believe that life begins at conception.
And I think most of the people in our state believe that way. So hopefully we can put that into effect. Now, obviously, with the economy being what it is, you know, every candidate has information on their website about their view of jobs and the economy. Tennessee's got a good record. We've got a good record on keeping our debt down as well. So what would you like to take what kind of things that you've done in Tennessee on the issue of the economy would you like to take to D.C.?
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm running for Congress, Dave, because the people of the 4th District are hardworking, they're honest, they're conservative folks, and they deserve what I call a strong, effective voice in Congress. And my wife, Trina, and I, we prayed about this and thought about it. It's a big decision to run for Congress. It is a sacrifice for the whole family. But we've done a lot of great things in Tennessee, especially in the last 4 or 5 years. We've cut our taxes. We've streamlined government. We've got sales tax on groceries. We've cut the inheritance tax, and it's going away. And we're just redoing a lot of things, and that's why Tennessee's growing. The conservative principles, I think, that majority of the people in Tennessee believe is what works. And I think I can take those principles, and I've actually had hands-on experience working in the room with people, convincing people that these are the right things to do. And that's why I want to run, to try to take those common sense conservative principles to Washington. I think they sort of lost their common sense in Washington. They don't balance their budget. We have to balance our budget in Tennessee, and those of the folks listening out here tonight, they have to balance their budget every month. If you spend more than you take in every month, it won't be long. You're going to be in trouble. And so that's some of the key things that I want to take to Washington. Cut back on government, too. I mean, the things, and we'll talk about this. I'll let you ask some questions. I could spend the 30 minutes talking about all the issues, but the people feel like the federal government is way overreaching. I think we need to revamp our IRS. I'd just soon scrap it and start all over. And we need a simpler, fairer tax system. Our tax system is way too complicated. EPA is out of line. NSA, in my opinion, in some regards, is out of line. So I think the government overreach is some of the things that I want to talk about when, if I'm lucky enough to be elected, if I earn my way to Congress. I want to take these principles we've got in Tennessee to cut back on government, making the individual's responsibility and move forward so that businesses can flourish.
Well, okay, since you mentioned those things, let me ask you this. Now, when Lamar Alexander first came out for re-election several months back, I'm not sure you were in this crowd, but I believe you were. Most of the congressional delegation, federal delegation, and most of the Tennessee Assembly endorsed Lamar Alexander. And if you were one of them, he's kind of part of the problem, isn't he?
Well, here's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on running my own race. I've got a full-time job every day. There's 16 counties in the 4th Congressional District, and I'm trying to work hard every day to run a grassroots campaign to really get out there and meet the people. And that's what I want to try to do, is get out and meet the people in the district. So that's what I'm concentrating on. I've got all I can do in the 4th Congressional District to take what I believe. I know who I am. I know what I believe. I have, like you said, 100% voting record on pro-life. I think my conservative credentials are pretty solid, and that's what I'm going to take. I'm not going to be outworked, and I don't want to be outraised. So I'm working as extremely hard every day to do that, and that's what I'm concentrating on. I mean, Senator Alexander's got his race, and now he's got an opponent and Representative Carr, and he's made the decision to run against Senator Alexander, so that's what I'm concentrating on.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of wondering because it seems kind of – they seem kind of, counterintuitive there, but okay. I've got to take a quick 30-second reading break here, and then we'll be right back. So after some serious thoughts, you've come to the conclusion that you don't believe the liberal media. Neither do we. For proof of that, Robert Garding's New Wise Conservatism show is on conservativenationmedia.com every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Robert has always had a big internet following, so listen Saturdays and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and our guest is Senator Jim Tracy, congressional candidate for the 4th District of Tennessee. Once again, Senator, thank you for being with us. And I'm going to turn it back over to you a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure you have at least a few constituents out there listening. Hopefully some of them will call in and maybe ask a couple questions. But what are some other things? You mentioned the federal overreach. I don't think D.C. believes in state sovereignty. And when you get up there, you know, what are your actions going to be on that? What are some of the things that you'd like to do to see the restoration of federalism?
Oh, that's a great question, Dave. One of the things that I'm really sold on, and I think we need to do away with it, is there's a couple of federal departments I think we need to do away with. I totally believe that we need to do away with the Federal Department of Education. I think education should be done at the local level. State and local level, and that's what I believe. I think we need to do away with that and let the state and the local handle education, get the federal government out of education. I do think we also need to get rid of the Federal Department of Energy. A lot of people out there listening, Dave, may not realize that the Department of Education was created, I believe, under President Jimmy Carter back in the late 70s.
Yep. So it's and relatively
new. And the Department of Energy, both. So both of those, I think we need to cut that down. And I tell you, as a congressman, if I'm elected, I will listen to my local state reps, state senators, and people back home. You know, as a congressman, you're elected to represent the people. one of the things that I will do is try to be as accessible as I can, whether you're going to country ham breakfast, chili suppers, ball games. I want to be out among the people, because the people, that's what's happened, I think, in Washington. People, when they get to Washington, for some reason, they get detached from the constituents back in their district. And people want state sovereignty. I want the state to be able to decide some things. I want to give the state more power, because I think the states can solve problems a lot better than the federal government. We need to get the federal government out of what we're doing a lot. So I truly think education and Department of Energy, both of those need to go away. And I will work extremely hard to do that with my background in education, been on the local school board back 9 years in Bedford County. And I truly think that the locals need to handle education and get federal out of it. That's one of the things that it ties up a lot of the local people on education.
So what are your thoughts on Common Core, which they try to sell as being created by the states? And, of course, I'm sure you know that Dolores Gresham is going to have hearings this week, but I'm just curious what your take on Common Core is.
I'm against anything. If the federal government is dictating curriculum to the state, I'm against that totally. I think it needs to be down at the local level. I do believe that we have to increase our standards, Dave, at the local level. I do think that our young people today are in a more of a competitive environment, really worldwide. You know, I grew up in rural Tennessee, and it's a different world today than it was when I grew up in the 70s, where you could graduate high school and you go to work at the local shoe company or the local plant there. In today's world, a young person definitely needs to get a high school diploma and preferably move on to post-secondary, either our technology centers and learn a trade. Because even now at the local plants, whether it be at Nissan or GM or Bridgestone or any of these plants that we have in Tennessee now, mathematics is very important. So I do believe in higher standards, but I believe it needs to be Tennessee standards, not national standards, not federal government telling us what to do.
Well, you know, that's another thing. We've done a pretty good job in Tennessee of bringing businesses here. So I would think that we would be competent enough to figure out, okay, what are the areas that we need to work on as a state to continue to attract businesses? I don't think we need a federal plan for that. I think we can figure it out just fine on our own.
I do too. I agree 100%. I think we're smart enough in Tennessee, and we're doing a good job right now. We're growing a lot of jobs right now in the last 6 months with the low tax base that we have here. You know, my background of being involved at the local level and recruiting businesses, one of the things that the businesses want to know is when they come here, what kind of education system do you have? Do you have a good workforce? Do you have a school system where the employees, children that are going to learn? So that's important. We can do that on our own. We don't need the federal government to tell us what to do. We know. And each county is a little bit different. You know, Dave, in my state senate district, I represent 5 counties, and they're all a little bit different. You know, it can be molded separately by each county. I do believe the young people can learn today, and I believe we can do that on our own without the federal government telling us what to do.
Amen. I've got to take another quick break. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Don't go away. This is Inside Tennessee with Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we will be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're speaking to Senator Jim Tracy, who is running for the 4th Congressional seat. Senator, I'm going to ask you a hard question here, and this is, you know, I looked at your site, and something you said earlier in the conversation was that you felt like the people of the district deserved better representation, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a – and I don't want to get – everybody in Tennessee has, you know, heard whatever about Representative Desjarlais. And for the record, I don't live in the 4th District. I don't have a dog in this fight. Everybody's pretty much aware of some of the issues there. Strictly based on Representative Desjarlais' voting record, what would you have done differently? Are there votes of his that he's cast that you really – had a problem with, or that you think he could do better in that regard? Is there something about his voting record that prompted you to get into the race?
Well, I think on the voting record, there's some votes. I haven't analyzed every vote that Congressman Desjarlais done, Dave. I do disagree with him on the farm bill. I thought that farm bill did not cut food stamps enough, and I have experienced that here at the state level. I've worked with food stamps trying to cut food stamps and getting people off of the government reach of the federal government so they get addicted to that federal government. So that's one vote, but the reason why I'm running is, as I said earlier, my three boys, I want them to have the same opportunity I had to start a business. And I believe, and I'm a positive person, I believe if we don't make a positive change right now and turn around the country, we're not going to have that. And it has to have what I call effective leaders. And I believe I can be more effective as a communicator, communicating what I could call common sense conservative principles that we talked about tonight, where we balance the budget, cut spending, cut taxes. And I've got a track record of doing it and communicating it to the masses. You know, I ran in 2004 for the Senate against a liberal trial lawyer that no one gave me a chance to win in 2004 because he had a lot more money than I did. He had incumbent status, and I believe I'm able to communicate that message. I believe there's more people out there that believe, like you and I do, that you can have the conservative principles and you can turn this country around. We can turn loose of the entrepreneurs that are out there if we just get government out of the way. So that's why I'm running. It's about effectiveness. I believe I can be more effective to work with folks across the district and be a strong conservative leader for these folks. And I'm sure there's votes that we'd differ on. There may be a lot of votes that we'd agree on. I just didn't analyze all his votes in the years he's been there.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I'm going to take a call real quick. We have Kurt on the line here. Kurt, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I guess it's more of a comment than anything else, Dave, but I want to direct it to Senator Tracy. Senator, my name is Kurt Blackwood from over in Henry County. We've met on a few occasions up in Legislative Plaza. Thanks for being on the show, by the way, and all the best to you in your campaign.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say, sir, is just this. I'm going to make a statement that some people would call outlandish, but they'll just have to call it that. I consider and I know a lot of people feel the same way, consider Washington, D.C. to be too broken to fix now the way it is. But I don't mean that as a disparaging statement. I want it to be an encouraging statement to you and your run for the Senate. Because if we are right in that Washington's too broke to fix and this whole thing is going to kind of fall down in a pile, whatever rises after the crash will determine where we go from that point on. And the more strong, morally upright, right-thinking people we have in place in the government in Washington at that point in time will help determine the future course for this country. So therefore, people like you are still needed there to help rebuild. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. So I just want to encourage you to, and I think you'll do it anyway, to keep going, but so you'll be there when you're needed most, when we try to put everything back together. That was the comment I was going to make.
Well, thank you. You know, your comment is not unusual. I'm out there campaigning and out talking to people every day, and there's a big concern out there. I do think we can turn around. I do think we need the states to be as strong as they can be also. And we're going to have strong leaders in Washington to stand up and make the right decision, Dave. I mean, we're going to have to make tough decisions. I've had to do that in the legislature. You know, when we've actually cut our budget in the state before, and we have people come to see us all the time saying, look, we know you don't have much money, but our program, you know, is real important, and you can't cut our program. But at the end of the day, that's why I think a balanced budget is so important. We have to cut, and if we don't, it's not going to be there for my children. We're not going to have things for my children. So I understand the concern there, and he's right. We're going to have strong people that are willing to be clear thinking, listen to the people back in the district, and do tough things and do hard things. And I've had to do that 9 years here, and we're beginning to see some good things happen in Tennessee, and I believe we can turn it around at the federal level too.
Well, good luck, Senator, and I hope I'll be able to keep calling you that.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling in from Henry County. I've been to Henry County. I love Henry County.
All right.
Thank you, Kurt.
Very good. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I've got a question for you. You know, right now there is some in Congress that are willing to actually put their money where their mouth is, and so to speak, and defund Obamacare. Senator Cruz and some of the House Republicans have said, look, we're going to fund everything but Obamacare. Now, of course, the other side is, you know, they're spinning that and they're going to say, well, the Republicans are willing to shut down the government. No, we're saying we're willing to fund everything but Obamacare. If you were in the House of Representatives, how would you vote if you were up there right now on this issue? Would you vote to defund, even though you might catch flack for it?
Yeah, I've already came out with a statement with defunding. I believe we need to defund it. I've already came out with a press release saying we need to defund it and put the pressure back on the president, you know, to make that call. I know the concern. You and I know, and the people listening to your program tonight know, that the media is always going to blame the conservatives, always. But we got to stand up. I've been reading about this from and meeting with people from the Heritage Foundation, and I know Senator Cruz has been out there. I know Senator Lee has been out there talking about it. So I believe we should defund it. I believe that's where we send a statement. We put the pressure back on the president. We do everything except fund Obamacare. I will tell you, Dave, I was at MTSU football game Saturday night, just going around visiting with people, and I spoke with a business person, more than one, at least five business people, said if they don't do something about Obamacare, their business is in jeopardy because they're going to have to change a whole lot of things. They're going to change their whole business model. People do not realize in Washington, D.C., how this is affecting our economy. I mean, small business owners, it's killing them. We have to stop Obamacare right now, and I think defunding it is the way to do it right now. If you defund it, it's going to go away if we allow it to continue to go. It, you know, once they get those subsidies in next year, that's that's really afraid that people get used to the government paying their way, and that's the fear I have.
Oh, yeah, and that's what they want. They know that if they once those subsidies are out there, it'll be that much harder, to stop Obamacare. And another thing that we seem to have a problem, I understand that we don't have the presidency, we don't have the control of the Senate, but, the House has done a lousy job on messaging, not just to fund Obamacare. They should have come up with something. The Ryan budget was kind of a joke all in all. There are so many things that so many people would agree to cut. I think the House Republicans could have done a better job of presenting to the country, hey, here's what a conservative budget looks like. But they've failed to do that. Senator Tracy, you got about 20 seconds, and we're going to have to go. I appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything you'd like to say right before you go?
No, just thank you so much. If anybody wants to find out about me, they can go to tracyfortn.com. That's my website. You've already been there. And if anybody wants to contact me through that, through email, I'll be glad to get back to them. I just think it's an honor for me to serve in the Senate and be honored to meet people along the path as I campaign for Congress, and look forward to any suggestions you have. And thank you for having me on tonight, Dave.
Well, hey, thank you for coming on, and hope to have you back. Take care. Good luck.
Yes, sir.
Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your day.
Senator Beavers, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ah, okay. I'm sorry. I hit one of the wrong buttons there. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. This is Dave Vance, your host. 718-305-7176 is the number, and we are speaking to Senator May Beavers. I appreciate you coming on the show. Sorry for the miscue there. Accidentally hit a button I wasn't supposed to hit.
That's okay.
You doing okay tonight?
Good to be with you. I'm doing great.
Appreciate you coming on.
Now, sure. It's starting to heat up with all the proposed legislation this next year.
So what's your first priority legislatively in the next session?
Well, there are several. I've worked a lot on 10th Amendment issues, and we'll be rewriting probably or making a few changes and bringing back Senate Bill 250, which was the Firearms Freedom Act. Now, let me go back and explain that. In 2009, after Obama was elected, we saw where Montana was considering a Firearms Freedom Act. And so we talked to the sponsor in Montana and asked him if we could copy his legislation. We did, and we actually were able to get that piece of legislation through the Tennessee State Legislature before they passed it in Montana. What that bill did was say that any firearm or ammunition or accessories for firearms that were manufactured in the state of Tennessee that remain in the state of Tennessee that the federal government has no say in the regulations of those items. And those items, by the way, had to be stamped made in Tennessee. So we were actually the first state to pass that bill.
And I remember when that passed. Now, what kind of reaction did you get from the federal government on that one?
Well, immediately the firearms dealers all got a letter from the from Washington saying you better not pay any attention to that law. Now, Montana filed that bill as pretty much a test case, and it is in the process of going through the court system. I think there is a federal court decision out their way, and I believe it will be appealed to the Supreme Court. But, you know, we're kind of watching to see what happens with that. And so this year, with the whole, you know, firearms confiscation threat by the federal government that we all feel, we simply tried to amend that bill to say that if the federal government comes against a citizen in Tennessee, tries to confiscate their guns, that our law enforcement would defend us. You know, at which time Senator Kelsey said we were going to have shootings of federal agents, which, you know, I don't think that that would be true at all. But, you know, that was one of his arguments.
Democrat tactic there. You know, they take the worst possible case scenario and say there's going to be blood in the streets if
exactly.
You pass X law.
But, you know, if the bill did nothing else last year, it caused a great discussion about Second Amendment rights, the Supremacy Clause.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, really, what kind of rights do we have as states under the Second Amendment? And we believe that that's an individual right that was given to us by our founding fathers and, you know, that the federal government has no right passing any laws regarding our Second Amendment rights. That's up to the states.
And what Senator Kelsey said about the Supremacy Clause, and I'm going to paraphrase here for those who may have not heard it. Basically, I couldn't believe some of the statements he made. Now, keep in mind, everybody, this is the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee in the state of Tennessee. This is a lawyer, a trained lawyer, a licensed lawyer in the state of Tennessee. And he said two different things. Number one, the Supremacy Clause trumps all. Okay, which means nothing after it really means anything. He also made the statement that because the Supremacy Clause was in the original Constitution, it was in the main body of the Constitution, that it trumps the amendments which came after. You know, and the legislator, I would have thought, understood the whole concept behind amendments. But just, and here's the sad thing, though. His philosophy on the Supremacy Clause, it's not rare, unfortunately. That is what way too many of our elected officials believe.
And especially our attorneys, Dave. Every attorney on the committee voted against the bill, which of all people who should know the Constitution, it should be our legal people in Tennessee. But apparently not. You know, I was just reading an article where one state is actually proposing legislation that would go back to the original intent of the Constitution instead of using case law.
That's what lawyers learn. That's all they learn is case law. They don't study the Constitution.
I filed a bill similar to that a few years ago and practically got laughed out of the state because attorneys just think case law rules, you know. The judiciary no longer goes back to actually study the Constitution to try to determine what the original intent of our founding fathers was. But, you know, when the Constitution was written, there were people from 13 independent sovereign states, and they agreed to form a political union, and they delegated specific limited powers to the federal government through the Constitution, retaining all other power and authority to themselves. So,
exactly.
You know, it just logically follows that the political societies delegating power retain the authority to determine its extent and to take steps when the government they created tries to operate outside of those boundaries. We've had to work on. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We've had to work on, you know, several issues in the last few years, you know, on health care. And, you know, now we're down to Common Core curriculum. So it looks like it's going to be something that we continue to deal with at the state level to try to, and people think nullification is a bad word. It's not a bad word because, you know, as in the Second Amendment, the federal government has no right to be making laws regarding our Second Amendment rights anyway.
You know, and most of the freedoms that people think about when we think about freedom of speech, we think about freedom of religion, we think about the Second Amendment, all the Bill of Rights, those are the things that are unique to America. And those, when you ask somebody, well, what freedoms do you have? They will mention those things. Well, those things were not written in terms of, hey, we want to make sure that no country comes over here and tries to impose those, to violate those things. Those things were written to protect us from a federal government. People forget
that.
I mean, and you know, we're never going to fall externally unless we fall internally first. And we seem to be, unfortunately, we seem to be headed that way. Bottom line is, the states, in order to restore our country, in any way you want to look at it, the states have to stand up. There will not, if you want to guarantee that it will come down to the Second Amendment, keep ignoring the Tenth. And people need to understand that.
Right. And you know, when we talk about the Supremacy Clause and, you know, when the federal government makes laws regarding our Second Amendment rights, that's an unconstitutional law which we do not have to recognize in the states.
Yeah, it just takes the political will. It takes the political will and courage. You have to have enough senators like you and a handful of others, unfortunately, is all we have in both the House and Senate, that believe this way. So we've got to educate our public. We've got to educate more of our legislators, because the bottom line is, if you believe in the Supremacy Clause to the degree, the carte blanche that Senator Kelsey believes, and apparently most of the other lawyers, then you really don't have any freedom. The rest
That's
of those
right.
rights, they mean nothing. They're allowing you to exercise them if that's their view of the Supremacy Clause, because
so,
we really have.
So, in other words, Washington can make any law that they want to regarding anything, and if the states don't, you know, somehow oppose it, then, you know, what good is the Constitution?
Yeah, what good are the states?
Right.
You know, I mean, we've got to get that through, too. I mean, you know, it's going to take the people insisting. It's going to take more good legislators like yourself that believe this way and more voters that insist that their elected representatives, their senators, stand up for the 10th Amendment and all the others, because without the 10th, you're really not going to defend those others. I got to take a quick 30-second break here, a quick read. Don't go away, and we will be right back. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying radio on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and I'm talking to Senator Mae Beavers. Once again, appreciate you coming on the show. And what are some of the other things that you want to try to accomplish in the legislature this session?
Well, I was going to go back to, I guess, the beginning of fighting back, you know, at the federal government. In 2011, we passed the Health Freedom Act. We had tried on that for a couple of years and finally managed to get that passed, and it was actually the first bill that Governor Haslam ever signed. And that bill says that if the federal government tries to fine the citizens of Tennessee, that the Attorney General will defend us. Now, you know, what are the chances of that? Probably null to none. you know, I think the intent is there if we ever get an Attorney General that will actually represent us instead of the Supreme Court. in Washington. This last year we had an interesting concept of the health care compact where we would be able to actually draw down our health care money. And a compact is an interesting thing. States can go together and form a compact on things like health care. One that I can remember we passed while I was up there in the House was the dairy compact. So it's something people haven't really paid too much attention to, but we'll be bringing that back this next year, trying to fight back against Obamacare. You know, I think at this point nobody knows where we're going with that because, you know, whether we're going to be so entrenched with Obamacare by the time we go back in January or whether Congress is actually going to have the backbone to go up there and repeal the law or, you know, stop the funding.
At least defund it. Yeah,
At least defund it. You know, quit taking little parts and say, well, I passed a bill, you know, that will take care of this part of Obamacare. Repeal the whole dang thing, you know. You're not under it. You didn't want to be under it. So why should we have to be under it? You know,
exactly.
At this point,
I mean,
I'm kind of fed up with Congress.
You know, what happened to equal protection of the law? I mean, they're exempting themselves. They're putting it on us. They're exempting themselves.
And now they may exempt the unions or at least maybe use our taxpayer dollars to help
to subsidize.
The unions out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's just
criminal.
Nothing good about that. Now, some of the legislation that I'm looking at for this next year, of course, the NSA spying has been a huge issue. One of the bills I passed last year had to do with drones, that law enforcement cannot use drones to spy on you without having a warrant in hand. We fought back an amendment by Metro Police in Nashville where they were asking to be able to use it for crowd control. But, you know, I just didn't want to give them that much leeway to use it for something that you could define as 100 people or 10 people or 1,000 people. And so we fought that back. We've seen some of the dangers of drones in the news since then, where they've crashed into crowds and things like that. And then we have, you know, email. When should the authorities be able to read our email? Should they have to have a warrant? I plan on looking at legislation that will require a warrant to read your email. And also, if, let's say, you're in an accident or something or involved in an incident, you know, when can police actually search your phone to get information off of your phone? Should they have to have a search warrant before they can go through your cell phone? It's a very interesting question, and, you know, it might be a reason to actually put a passcode on your iPhone, but... you know, I think we're all very concerned about privacy in this country right now. We feel like we have none whatsoever.
Well, I don't think we can trust our state any more than we can trust the federal government because there's not enough people in power that seem to really care about those things. I don't know what we do.
I don't know. Maybe we worry too much, but I don't think so. I've never seen – I come from a different generation, apparently, you know. I know I've had some people tell me I'm out of touch, you know, they think the Tea Parties are kind of crazy people, you know, I don't agree. I don't think that you can ever guard your freedoms and your liberties too much because, as you can see, this last year, last couple of years with Obama, he said he was going to fundamentally change our country, and he's doing
it. And he's working on it. Yeah, he's working on it. And with help, in a lot of cases, from the people that are supposed to be opposing him.
I know.
That's, you know, really disappointing at the federal level. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I had Senator Tracy on before, and the only representative from our federal delegation that I'm aware of that voted against raising the debt ceiling in 2011 was Scott DeJarlais. Good, bad, or ugly,
right.
anything else involving him, he's the only one that made the right vote. And we're a conservative state, yet none of the other 8 representatives or our 2 senators cast the right vote. Matter of fact, overall, I'm not impressed with our federal delegation. I'm not impressed at all. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a lot of backbone, doesn't seem to be a lot of conviction. Hey, I've run over just a little bit. I got to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
And
Don't go away. Right back on Inside Tennessee.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Senator Mae Beavers. Senator, we were talking about some of the things on your agenda for this upcoming session, so let's get back to that conversation. And what's the next item that you want to talk about for the session?
And speaking of some of our congressmen or people running, you know, back in 2012, while Governor Bredesen was still in office, Obama comes up with $4.35 billion in stimulus money, you know, under the brainchild of Race to the Top, incentive to states to reform K through 12 curriculum by competing for grants. And, of course, Tennessee got in a hurry to do that. They were the first. I think myself and Senator Marrero and Senator Harper were the only ones to vote against that. I honestly, when I started to the floor that day, I'm not on education, so I hadn't heard a lot of talk about it, just, you know, what we were able to discuss and bill review and so forth. And so I was talking to one of the chairmen of the committees, and, you know, she said, well, you know, I've just got real questions about the so many shells in the legislation. Well, I put that together with federal money, which meant control, and I just decided to vote against it. Now it has
good
become
instincts.
I've decided anytime federal government's involved, the best thing to do is just vote against it. But now we have this monster called Common Core Curriculum. You know, parents are going nuts with some of the things that are coming out in the textbooks. There's actually pornography in textbooks. The curriculum, we've been told, was partially written by Bill Ayers, who bombed the World Trade Center, is now teaching in one of our universities in this country.
You mean the Pentagon back in the 70s, right?
I was thinking he was involved in the World Trade Center, but you're probably right. I don't remember. But, you know, that's a scary thought in itself. And I went to a forum where I listened to a lot of experts on Common Core curriculum say that, oh, they forgot to put into the math curriculum how to convert fractions into decimals, you know, just a little oversight there. And you start hearing about all of these little oversights, and it gets really scary. So Race to the Top, you know, started a few years ago. This governor's inherited it, but as far as I can tell, you know, is supporting it. But Race to the Top is top-down, federal government, centrally controlled. It's National Education Program. under the General Educational Provisions Act, that act prohibits the federal overreach by exercising any direction, supervision, or control over the curriculum or selection of instructional materials. And what do we have now? We've got one company, mostly Pearson Books, who are printing most of the books, and it's very scary to me. I know my grandson is in the third grade at a magnet school in Murfreesboro. He's been there since kindergarten. He does very well, but his first 2 weeks of school this year was all testing, every day.
What?
Testing. And then just to get a notice that, oh, and by the way, we're going to start preparing for the gateway. So we are truly teaching to the test now in math. There's really not a right answer. You can say 3 plus 3 plus 3 is 10, and as long as you show how you got there, they don't count it wrong. But if you just
that
add
can,
it up in your head,
that can't be.
Yeah,
good
if
Lord,
you just add it up your
crazy.
Head and say the answer is 9, you're going to miss the problem because you didn't show them how you reached that conclusion. I mean, there's some scary stuff, folks.
Here's what I do know about it, and I don't know a whole lot, but I have a friend who's a teacher, and, of course, they've been going through the training. Now, one of the things that I keep hearing is, okay, it's just standards. There's not a curriculum that goes with it, which to me sounds ridiculous. Why would you establish standards without a curriculum? Well, what they've done is they give the teachers links to use. Now, of course, all the links, according to this friend of mine, who happens to be one of the few conservative teachers out there, he says most of the links they refer you to, the information in there has a left tilt, a strong left tilt. You might find one or two things you can consider neutral, but most everything has a left tilt. Even if they're just using it as an example, it's a left
mm-hmm.
tilt. And so it's bad enough with the textbooks. We have a big enough problem with the textbooks. But now, okay, am I going to get those links as a parent so that I know what that teacher in the classroom is using? Probably not.
No. In some instances, it's going to be electronic books and so forth that they won't be able to bring home. It's a scary situation, and then they're dumbing down our ACT test and our SAT test to go along with that. You know, I'm sorry, but I just don't trust the people involved. I know many of the teachers were against a race to the top to begin with because of the evaluation and the percentage that the tests were going to count towards their evaluation. TEA came in, and at first they wanted me to vote against the bill. Then after they made a deal with the administration on the percentage that would count, then they came back and wanted me to vote for the bill. And I said, no, I'm not going to vote for it, you know. I think there still is an unfairness issue out there with the teacher evaluation part of that process, but even more concerning to me is the dumbing down of our educational system.
And, you know, I'm a parent, and I should probably do a better job than I do as far as, you know, I do try to look at what he brings home. Probably need to be more involved. But, and that's part of the problem is I know there's not enough parental involvement. And also, I've been to a few school board meetings, and I can tell you I don't have a lot of confidence that the people on the school board, at least here and I'm sure in other places, really have a clue about, it seems to me like it's, I won't say directed from the top, but they defer to the top. If the top tells them, hey, this is a good thing, I think a lot of them, oh, okay, he knows more about it than I do, or she knows more about it than I do, so, okay, sounds good, let's do it. Not all of them, but I think way too many of them. And, you know, another thing about this Common Core, they're not trying to implement something that's been proven anywhere. They haven't proven anything. Matter of fact, they even haven't finished the testing for it.
As a matter of fact, I've learned that some of this may come from the way China did it, but then China's quit using it that way, or Japan or somebody. You know, let's don't copy something that's already failed somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know that we want to learn a lot of things from the Chinese as far as their method of education. But, you know, I'm hoping that the hearings this week – it sounds like they're going to be pretty thorough. You know, seven people from, you know, seven pro, seven con are on the committee. I think they each get 20 minutes is what Bobby Petraeus said a little earlier in the show. So that's going to be pretty thorough. And I know there's at least a few legislators who they haven't made a decision, but they're concerned. So they really want to know what's going on. And that's good. That's good to know.
Yes, and I think there'll be quite a few there. Of course, we are capable. You know, we can go on our iPads at home or computers and watch it from the house. And I invite people to do that. I think it's going to be really crowded down there. And I invite people to get on our legislative website and watch those hearings. You know what? It's the future of our state. I trust Tennesseans to set the curriculum for our students, not somebody in Washington. Or, you know, we certainly don't want a world view of things. Our country is unique, and I want to keep it that way. And it was based on Christian precepts. I was raised in a Christian family, so thankful that I was. And yet, in some of these textbooks, they're calling Christianity a cult.
Good Lord.
It's scary stuff, and I hope people will tune in, let your legislators know how you feel about it. This is going to be one of the most important things that you can do this year, is to let your legislators know how you feel about it.
Well, and I think they're going to hear an earful. And granted, we need to make sure we go up there with the facts. Can you stay with us for just a few minutes after the break?
Sure.
We're going to take a real quick break. Okay.
Okay.
Let's assume that if you're listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. This is Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media with Dave Vance, and we will be right back with Senator Mae Beavers.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Oh. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking to Senator Mae Beavers. Senator, we were just talking about Common Core. If you got a feel for, as far as your fellow senators, fellow representatives, any kind of consensus on it, or is there just a lot of, hey, you know, I don't really know much about it?
Well, the ones that I've talked to are very concerned about it. So I think there are a good number of people with questions. So, you know, hopefully we'll see that in the hearings. Another aspect of that is the data mining they're going to be doing on people. I understand that our Tennessee Board of Regents has this huge computer system that they're building that they will know everything about you in the end. They will know every household that is conservative. And then the 400 points that they're gathering from your children all the way through school. All of that will go from the time they start school till they finish college. Their first employer will be able to see all of that. If you make a mistake, it's going to be in your record forever, forever.
Good Lord. It's like Facebook run amok.
Yes,
it's
going to be worse than Facebook. But, you know, one of the things that I'm concerned about is electing true conservatives to the legislature. I have a group that meets the last Saturday of every month in Mount Juliet at Logan's. It's just an informal group that we've had going for about 4 years. We've grown to about 50 or 60 people a month. Out of that group, a few people got together. We have formed a Freedom Pack. We're going to raise money to give to conservatives who are running for office. And we have a dinner coming up on October the 3rd in Lebanon at the fairgrounds. We're going to be honoring two people that we feel have greatly contributed to the conservative cause in Tennessee, Andy Miller with the Tennessee Freedom Coalition and John Harris with the Tennessee Firearms Association. It's just $50 a person. So, you know, hopefully some of you will drive away and come and join us that night and help us raise money to support conservative candidates.
Well, those two definitely deserve it, definitely deserve it. Senator Beavers, I appreciate you coming on. I hope to have you back. And just keep up the good fight. You're one of the few that we can rely on there, and we really do appreciate you. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a good night.
Okay.
This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And I believe we have our next guest on the line here. Hello?
Hello? Dave?
Brandon? Yes.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
All right. How's it going?
Doing very well. Can you hear me pretty good?
And this, I've got you. Brandon, you doing okay tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me home. It's really an honor.
I appreciate you coming on. Folks, there was a little typo. Our guest is Brandon Dodd. I'm sorry. It's not David Alexander. It is Brandon Dodd. And we'll be working on that one as well. Now, Brandon, you ran for governor in 2010, correct?
Yes, sir. I did.
Okay. And I'm just curious. I mean, you know, that was a long shot, but what prompted you to do it?
Well, I knew it was a long shot going in because I ran as an independent. And so anytime you do that, that's like bringing a knife to a tank battle. And but I really wanted to offer a conservative choice to Governor Haslam. And I really believe strongly in the Constitution, the 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment. And I really felt we were let down, or we've been let down by our elected state officials. They've really not stood up for the Constitution, the 10th Amendment, and a lot of our problems that we're seeing, issues like education, Obamacare, abortion, all those are states' rights issues. And if we had conservative, constitutional conservative representative senators and governors, we could fix those problems on our own without the federal government. And so I use that venue, the debates, forums, with lots of other candidates, whether it be representative candidates, senator candidates, or gubernatorial opponents, to kind of spread the word about the 10th Amendment. And
yeah.
I thought we were very successful in doing that. And also, kind of, I knew I wanted to get into politics, and I wanted to see how I stacked up against the best from around the state. And so we had a good time, met a lot of good people, and spread the word a lot. And so I'm proud of what we accomplished.
Well, and, you know, here's the deal. I'll tell you. I voted for you, even though I didn't know you all that well. I did call you and talk to you. I understood what you believed in because there was no way I was voting for Haslam. It just wasn't happening. So, and obviously I wasn't going to vote for the other guy. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to not vote. I'm not voting for the Democrat. I'm not voting for the Democrat pretending to be a Republican. And so let me call this guy up and see what he's about. And if we agree ideologically, morally, then he's got my vote. So I did vote for you. I don't know how many others did, but I did.
We got thousands of votes. We needed hundreds of thousands. But honestly, every vote means a lot to me. I mean, because it was, you know, there were 14 independents on the ballot. There was the Democrat Republican candidate. And so everybody that lined up and every one of those thousands of votes that we got was a purpose. You know, they really wanted to vote for me. And so that every one of them means a lot to me. And I'm thankful for everyone that I had.
So now, you're going to run again, or in 2014, you're actually going to run for a Senate seat. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit, and then you can kind of give everybody kind of what your core values are. You've kind of alluded to 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, but go ahead and let's talk about the race you're going to be in, and let's talk about what you believe.
Well, it's a state Senate seat, District 27, which encompasses Dyer and Lauderdale, Lake, Crockett, and Madison counties, and it's going to be an open seat. State Senator Lo Finney is stepping down. We've been redistricted, and so it's a little more conservative than I think he had a chance to really step in and win easily, so I don't know that he was ready for a lot of competition. But, you know, it's a good district. It's a conservative district. We got a real good opportunity. I'm running as a Republican. And, you know, the campaign, again, you know, I think we need good state leadership, good leaders in the state who will stand up for our state's rights, who will protect our Second Amendment rights. I'm a county commissioner in Dyer County, and I was able to author a Second Amendment resolution protecting our...
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a few counties that... How many counties have done that? I've heard of a couple. Do you know how many have done it altogether?
There were three at the time when ours passed, and I was impressed. I was really thankful to the other commissioners. We passed it unanimously. I think it was the first time that was done. And, you know, I'm really proud of the amendment we got passed and just really, really stood up for our Second Amendment rights because, you know, the federal government did not create itself. It was created by the states. And they were so scared of the federal government becoming all-powerful that they gave us the Bill of Rights. They gave us amendments. And the Second Amendment, you know, clearly says that the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed upon. And that means that the federal government has zero power. That's one of the things they limited the federal government. It cannot infringe on our rights to keep and bear arms. That is not within the federal powers. So that makes all federal laws regarding firearms unconstitutional and should be illegal. And that's our state's rights. And so, you know, we really don't have to wring our hands and worry about federal interference on that issue if we had good elected state leaders.
Yeah, with the backbone, more than to just say, well, this says you can't do it. They have to actually mean it and stand up
right, and be able
it.
To protect our citizens. And,
yeah,
you know, our sheriff was on board. He was more than willing to stand up for our Second Amendment rights if somebody is violating those rights. Because if they're breaking the law, it doesn't matter whether they're a member of a government or just an outright outlaw or bandit, they're breaking the law. And so, you know, we have to stand up for our rights because nobody else will.
Now, who else is in the race? Who else is running for the Republican primary against you?
Right now, Mr. Ed Jackson from Jackson, Tennessee, is running against me. He's I think he's going to be well. We're more of a grassroots constitutional conservative. He's more establishment Republican, and so definitely will be an uphill battle. But I think
it's one of Jimmy Wallace's boys.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Yeah, that says it all there. Okay. So yeah, you've got an uphill climb money wise, especially.
He will definitely be. You know, they've got the money behind him. So, but I mean, money's important, but it's not everything.
No. But now, so you've got a pretty big district that you're going to have to basically get out there and beat your feet and get on the ground and get out to everybody and introduce yourself. So that, you know, that's a challenge, but. I tell you what, people are tired of politicians that don't have any core values, don't have any convictions, and won't stand up for them. So, you know, they might be surprised how this one turns out. Hey, I've got to do a real quick read, and then we'll be right back to you, okay?
Sure, sounds great.
Don't let the liberal media fool you. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, here on conservativenationmedia.com. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Brandon Dodd, who is a state Senate candidate for Tennessee. And we kind of got out of order here just a little bit, Brandon. We started talking about issues, but before we go back to issues, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your background, what you do, family, so on and so forth.
Sure. I grew up on a farm in rural northwest Tennessee in the town of New Bern. I went to optometry school. I'm an eye doctor. I married my high school sweetheart. We have three young sons. And I'm a county commissioner in Dyer County representing District B, which is New Bern District.
And you're how old?
39.
Okay. You sounded a little younger than that, but all right. So how long have you been a county commissioner?
About a year.
Okay, so you see both federal and state stupidity at the action level then, right? Pretty
sure,
much.
Sure, and that's one of the
user level.
Very frustrating things, you know, at the county level is, you know, in order to fix our schools, we've got to get the federal government out of the schools. And as
right.
long as, you know, we've got to be able to stand up, we need state government protection to get them out. And fortunately, we have the Constitution on our side. We just need some leadership and backbone on our side because, you know, we don't have to sue to keep Common Core or No Child Left Behind out. We just have to ignore them. And the beautiful thing about most school systems in Tennessee, not all, because like I said, urban school systems are different, but in most school systems, the federal government provides just a tiny, tiny portion of the funding. I know in the Dyer County school budget, $7.7 million of our dollars come from local taxes, $16.9 million of our dollars come from state taxes, and $522,000 come from federal government. So that's less than 2% of the funding, but their silly rules, regulations, and mandates cost us probably 25% to 35% of our cost. So we can,
you know, I was wondering about that because I was tracking that the majority of the school money was property taxes and state money.
Right.
And that it was, I didn't know it was
98% in Dyer County. And like I said, that's not true in your Memphis, your Jackson counties, cities like that. But we're talking 98%
right.
comes from state and local, and 2% comes from the federal. Because everybody's always wringing their hands, what will we do without the federal money? What will we do without the federal money? That's a joke. The federal money costs us so much more than the money they provide that we could kick them out. We could have a world-class education system. And I love the majority of our teachers. I think they, I'm on the education committee on our county commission, and we have wonderful teachers. They do everything they can with their hands tied behind their back under these rules and regulations. You know, a lot of times they have to teach the test because their jobs are on the line. If they tell you that's what you got to do to keep your job, then that's what you have to do. And so, you know, we can fix our education system. Tennessee has always been known for its education. Nashville was called the Athens of the South for many years. And so we know what to do. We know how to fix it. We just got to be allowed to do that. And we need state senators, state representatives that will stand up for our state's rights.
Now, have you done any estimates or have you seen anything on what Common Core will cost, for instance, your county? Or even from a state perspective, what will it cost the state to implement Common Core?
I don't have those figures, but I mean, they've released those to us yet. But it's not cheap.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not something they want to broadcast, and I'm sure
right,
it's
not something they're putting out. That I'm not, you know, I haven't been privy to that information yet. But no federal rules, regulations I've ever seen that are inexpensive. They're all going to cost us something. And
right.
again, that's taxpayer money we're paying. We're paying for our own incompetence. We're paying for mandated bureaucracy.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I want to go back and dig into my county now and find out what percentage comes from the federal government, because I'm sure it does vary. I was tracking at one time here that roughly 13% from our county came from the federal government. But you're right. They bend over backwards for the federal money when it's not the majority. Yet they adhere to this standard. They do X, Y, and Z for the federal dollar when it's not the majority, and
not close.
It would be
like
much better
2%.
Off to boot their heads out.
And
yeah.
in Dyer
yeah,
County,
that's ridiculous. I would think 2%. They would every. So what's the thought in Dyer County? Is it hey, let's hang on to this 2%, or is it hey, let's get rid of it?
The thought really, you know, never crosses their mind. You know, they're looking for state leadership. You know, never crosses their mind. Hey, we can get rid of it because you know they're scared of the federal government. You know, anywhere the federal government has its hooks. In ya, I mean, like businessmen, we pay. I'm a small business owner at Dodge Eye Care. You can't fight the federal government by yourself.
Right, that's true. Hey, I am going to have to interject here real quick. We've got to take a real quick break, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away. We've got right back with Brandon Dodd on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Silver wings shining in the sun.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to Brandon Dodd, Senate candidate in 2014. What district again, Brandon?
27.
27. Okay, and that's a seat vacated by Senator Lo Finney. So when are you going to get hot and heavy on your campaign? Since you're going to get somebody who's got quite a bit of financial backing, obviously you're going to have to get started fairly early. Have you done any events yet?
Well, we're coming up on the 27th. Will be our first speaking engagement at the Reagan Day dinners in Dyer County. Me and Ed Jackson both going to be able to speak there, and so that's when we're really going to kind of kick things off and get going. Right now we're fundraising, building an organization, and so we're already working hard. But like you said, we've got to work hard. And he's not going to outwork me. There's no doubt about that.
So you have other things lined up beyond that, beyond the 27th?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've got – well, actually, I believe at the 26th I'll be at the Madison County Tea Party. So I misspoke. We're kicking things off on the 26th, Madison County Tea Party, and then 27th, immediately the next day, Reagan Day dinner.
Okay. All right. Well, that should be interesting. I got a few friends down that way, so I'm sure if I don't make it down there, I'll get the details. I've got to take this call real quick.
Hello,
Barbara, how
Dave,
you doing tonight?
How are you? I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Here, tell
good.
Us about the show for tomorrow night.
Well, tomorrow night on Women Patriots, we have the founder of 2 Million Bikers to D.C.,
great.
So I got, so he's going to talk to us about his experience and how it all came about. And I don't know how many of your listeners know, but I'm a biker and I wasn't able to make it to the to this gig this year. But it's going to be an annual thing that
great.
They were going to be doing. So, yeah, he's going to come on and tell us all about it. And hopefully we'll get some callers that will share their experience, too, because just for me, watching it on the Internet, because pictures kept coming on, it was just like it gave me hope that we can take this country back.
Yeah, they did that in 20-some days, and I think the final count, although you won't hear it on the mainstream media, was like 1.2 million, something like that. They put it together in 20-some days.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the guy's
name?
That's
correct. Bill Williamson.
Bill Williamson. And you're I just read it off here. You're from 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
That's correct. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, conservativenationmedia.com.
Well, it should be a great show.
Right?
Yep, you got it right.
Yes, I'm excited. All right, thanks, Dave. Have a good night.
Thanks, take care. You too.
Bye.
Have a good one. Bye. Okay, Brandon, well, we've got a few minutes here. Hey, we've still got some time for callers, 718-305-7176, if you have a question for Brandon or if you have a comment. I'll turn it back over to you, Brandon, make use of the time we've got.
Sure.
You've got some free air time for your campaign here. And I'm sure there's got to be at least a couple people in that area listening.
Sure. Yes, sir. Oh, a lot of people. So we're proud to be on. But, we need economic help. our district, we're hemorrhaging jobs. We need to pull in good jobs. And as a small business owner, I'm very kind of well aware of the biggest impediment we have as a business owner right now is our government. Without question, there's no way around it. When you have a business, well, just for example, we pay income tax, unemployment taxes, workman comps taxes, Social Security taxes, franchise and excise taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, payroll taxes, professional taxes, and that's not counting, you know, your gas taxes, your fees, all the other stuff like that.
Comes Obamacare.
Oh, right, and Obamacare on top of that, we pay anywhere from 60% to 70% of what we make in taxes. And a lot of people don't realize that most of those taxes come with its own bureaucracy and rules and guidelines, and you're always terrified of kind of misstepping and kind of not doing those. You have to pay, like the payroll taxes, you have to pay those. They're due at the end of the year, but they're really due quarterly. If you miss the quarterly payment, you're supposed to preemptively pay ahead of time. If you don't do that, there's a huge fine. And we're just being killed by taxes. There's no they're funding social programs on the backbone of businesses. And that's why jobs are fleeing this country as fast as they can. And so we've got to reduce and streamline and just crush that bureaucracy that's crushing our own businesses. And so as a business owner, I understand that. I know how to fix it. And, you know, capitalism works. Free market economics works. If we just get our government out of the way, we can make this country rock solid again economically.
Now, how long have you been in business for yourself?
Since 2004.
Okay, so you've already been through some hard times then, especially beginning in around 2007, 2008.
Right. It's never gotten better. all the taxes have only gotten worse, and now they're going to pile Obamacare on top of it. But the beautiful thing about Obamacare is based on the 10th Amendment, which says any power not specifically designated to the federal government belongs to the state government or the people. And sometimes we forget the end of the people there. But the federal government has absolutely no legal power to put that health care system in place. And, you know, we're worried about, will our representatives and congressmen and senators defund it? That'd be nice if they did. It's unnecessary. We just need state leadership to say no. That's all it would take. And not sue in federal court.
That's not going to happen with the That's not going to happen with the current leadership. Now, they may turn down the Medicaid portion, but, you know, you're not really going to get a big fight out of this government. I mean, well, actually, they did opt out of the Obamacare. Hopefully, they'll turn down the Medicaid portion. But all in all, I don't see our state government, our governor anyway, saying no to the federal government a lot. Now, hopefully he will say no to the Medicaid expansion. They did say no to Obamacare. I'm not 100% convinced that he won't try to find some way to backdoor some things, because because he said no last year doesn't mean something else might not slide in on the under the radar. That's my concern with that. And you said you're not
running for state Senate. Yes, sir, I am. That's one of the reasons we need leadership up there. And it's got to happen. We've got to push back, because people say, I heard an earlier caller say that the federal government, maybe you're too broke to fix, and it may be. But as long as we have a strong state government, we can fix things on our own, because that's the way our forefathers designed the Constitution. You know, the federal government had its powers, and then with that, those weren't specifically designated. The state was supposed to be in charge of everything else, and so we didn't have to worry about rules and mandates. And we've really let ourselves down. It's our own fault, because we've ceded those rights and powers to the federal government. And I don't know why we've done that, but there's no reason for us to do that. And there's certainly no reason for us to continue to do that. If they were even good at it, it would be one thing. It's still be illegal.
But they're not.
But they're terrible at it. They're abysmal at it. And it's illegal.
And they've proven it over and over again.
Right. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. We've got to take back.
Yeah.
We've got to put the Constitution back in play.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think most of the people in the state of Tennessee do. We've got roughly a minute left. So You've got a full minute here, or about, let's say, 45 seconds to give a little spiel for the end of the show. And when you hear the music, know that your time is up. I appreciate you coming on. I hope to have you back. Can get you back at least every other month. And hey, maybe we can get you and the other guy on here to do a debate. That'd be interesting too.
Sounds great. I would absolutely love that. I appreciate the time tonight, and I'd be more than happy to come anytime that that you would have me. Again, my name is Brandon Dodds. I'm a eye doctor from New Bern, Tennessee. I'd love the opportunity to represent the 27th District in the State Senate. I'm an absolutely constitutional conservative. I'll stand up for our 10th Amendment and Second Amendment rights. We've got to fix our education system. We've got to fix the economy. I'm very, very, very strongly pro-life. We also have to stop illegal immigration. I think you can't keep giving you've got to protect our borders. You can't keep giving benefits to people who haven't come here and earned them and are not citizens of our country. And so, you know, please, if you're in the, please consider voting for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks again, Brandon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.